Today, we are focusing on Intapp, and I'm very interested in your experience as a customer success manager there, particularly how you work with your clients. To start, could you give me a brief overview of your background, focusing on your time at Intapp?
At Intapp, I started as a regular customer success manager, working with our mid-market accounts in the private capital market space, including private equity firms, banks, credit unions, and investment firms, essentially clients in financial services. I quickly realized the product is highly adaptable, making it a strong market driver with more customization options than other products. I was then promoted from mid-market to senior client success manager, covering enterprise accounts. I did that for almost a year before being promoted to our strategic team. Shortly before leaving Intapp, I was managing our top 2% of clients, interacting with the wealthiest of the wealthy on a daily basis.
Why did you leave?
The product and company were great, but I was essentially headhunted by my current company. They pursued me for several months and offered a package that was too good to walk away from.
I am trying to get a sense of the company and its structure. Can you give me an overview of how the overall sales and client success organization was structured?
Intapp DealCloud was the business unit I was part of, which is specifically their CRM software. There are different verticals it was developed for, but DealCloud is the CRM piece that Intapp offers. There are different product verticals and sales teams, but essentially it is a global CS organization. It is broken down into specific regions like the United States, South America, EMEA, and APAC. After it is broken down into those regional distributions, it is further segmented based on verticals. For example, we have CSMs for DealCloud and CSMs for our professional services side, working with law firms, which is called OnePlace. We have a OnePlace team with CSMs there, and sales are broken up in the same way. They are now segmenting to have specialized CSMs and sales executives for those specific verticals. When I started, I was focused on private capital markets, and that is now the norm and structure at Intapp, even through the sales organization.
One of the things I wanted to understand better is how the sales force is structured, especially given the cross-selling capabilities, given that a lot of the product came through M&A. It is a regional structure, covering the Americas, broken down by vertical, and then by product. You were covering financial firms within the Americas, then there is someone who specializes in DealCloud, and another in the Walls product. Someone lands the client, and other sales specialists try to cross-sell and help with that specialization.
That is spot on. The cross-selling and team aspect at Intapp is very strong, one of the strongest I have seen in the market over the past 20 years. The business units function truly as one team, and everyone helps cross-sell for those specific verticals. For example, if I specialized in DealCloud for financial services, we would have someone else for Walls or CAC. For Walls specifically, we would have a solutions specialist well-versed in those products who would then demo and help close the deal.
Were there any changes in terms of organizational structure or priorities during your time there?
While I was there, we definitely made some organizational changes. We developed a client experience team, focusing on the client experience from both an internal and external standpoint. We aim to further develop systems, analytics, and reporting to enhance overall satisfaction for our employees and customers. As for other major organizational changes, there weren't many, except on the professional services side. The structure managing law firms and real estate clients changed. It was initially very siloed, with one leader for that whole side of the business. In contrast, the financial services side was segmented, allowing people more access to resources. This structural change occurred while I was there on the professional services side.
Regarding incentives and overall operations, there was a CFO change. I am not sure if he introduced a different structure, especially concerning sales incentives.
No, the structure remained the same during my time there. Incentives and bonuses stayed consistent. The last bonus I received might have changed, but it wasn't communicated.
The company mentioned changing from RSUs, which are grants that vest over 5 years, to PSUs, contingent on achieving certain business outcomes. This impacted the overall compensation structure of the sales force.
Do you know when that change took place? Because when I was there, we were still dealing with RSUs.
I think it happened over the past 3 quarters.
Based on what I have heard from current employees, It seems this change occurred recently. When I was there, we were still receiving restricted stock units as part of our compensation.
How did you see DealCloud evolve as a product over the years you spent there?
There was a push for AI before it became the buzzword it is today. We were moving towards automating as many processes as possible for financial services clients. I can speak directly to that vertical because I was involved in it daily. We were developing an AI-like component for DealCloud, where many processes would be automated. The background processes would no longer require manual calculation. It would be an automation setup, like if X equals Z, then A equals B. We started moving towards that. I had been at DealCloud for almost 2 years when the focus shifted from calculated coding to a more autonomous way of working.
Was there anything problematic that needed improvement during your time there? Something that maybe got fixed or didn't?
Yes, there could have been improvements. Our support reps at Intapp were the people our customers reached out to with everyday questions. If they needed a quick answer, it would be me. But for more extended issues, we would recommend support. One area support was working to improve was the quality of their responses. They were sometimes too technical, which didn't translate well to the end user. That was a significant focus while I was there, improving service quality.
Moving on to the core of your experience there, it would be great if we could discuss a couple of client journeys as they adopted DealCloud and maybe expanded to other products or more seats. I would like to cover one or two in detail. You can choose a favorite client or case to talk about and give me the overall context of how the product was initially purchased.
GemSpring Capital was one of my favorite clients to work with. It started as a basic CRM package, essentially a Salesforce replacement for data, like a data repository. Once we got into the implementation and started building things up, we identified areas for vast improvements in commercial lending and wealth management. Kelsey, the project manager I worked with, and I identified these areas. We also incorporated those users into the structure. I ended up building a statement of work, SOW, for a complete overhaul for wealth management and commercial lending, including dashboards and automations. We took that customer from a six-figure contract, around $100,000, to 10 times that amount by the time I left. They became fully immersed in Intapp. I cultivated relationships with their CTO. We weren't best friends, but whenever I was in town, we would go out for a drink. I utilized my relationship with Kelsey to build connections with their CIO and CEO, understanding their pain points to recommend more solutions. My success with that client was really about building relationships and offering products, explaining their benefits and value. It was just part of my regular job.
I would like to explore the details of the expansion and success story. Do you know why they started with DealCloud in the first place? What was their situation before DealCloud?
Their situation before DealCloud was that part of the team was on Salesforce, and the other part was using Excel spreadsheets to track. There were two separate systems, and with multiple lines of truth, it is hard to know which is correct. They wanted a single source of truth for their data and customers, which drove them to look beyond Salesforce for an all-in-one solution, leading them to DealCloud.
Do you know what alternatives were evaluated and why DealCloud was selected?
I don't remember exactly why DealCloud was selected. They were considering renewing Salesforce, moving to HubSpot, or using Intapp DealCloud. Those were their three options.
Were you there during the implementation process? What was the initial size of the purchase? How many seats did they get? And how smooth was the transition from Salesforce?
I have been a part of a few implementations that were painful, especially when transitioning from a big CRM like Salesforce to something smaller like Intapp or DealCloud. However, I would say the overall implementation was smooth. We encountered some roadblocks with security settings and permissions that needed to be worked out on a custom schedule. We started by implementing contacts and accounts, essentially getting the base data in there. It was like creating a full customer 360 view, consolidating data from different systems into one place for a comprehensive picture. That is where we began, and that is all they initially wanted to do. Then we built upon it with walls. They ended up utilizing our marketing product, which is built directly into DealCloud. They also had all of our Microsoft add-ins. They used what used to be called contact and activity capture, now part of our risk and compliance products.
Is that an integration with the Microsoft suite that helps automation?
Yes, it is called client acceptance and continuance, It is automated client engagement via intake, with risk scoring and similar features.
I wanted to delve deeper into this specific motion. When they implemented the DealCloud standard database for the first time, did they do it for the entire company at once?
We implemented it for the whole company at once. It was a single initial release to all business units. Retail started using it first, even though commercial lending had access. We were still building towards a finished product for them. They had a minimal viable product for commercial lending and other business units, and we continued to build upon that. All units launched together, but retail started first. We then proceeded in full phases for each specific business unit as it was developed. Retail and marketing were the first.
But it was already sold to the whole company?
Correct.
So you didn't expand seats during this motion. How did the conversation about expanding functionality and adding more products go?
That was based on a question and answer approach. We asked what they were looking to solve and how we could help, then offered a solution. We started with commercial lending, discussing how to automate some of their reporting for Monday morning meetings. That was our initial use case. From there, we expanded to automate workflows, approvals, and sales forecasting. All of this was integrated into their Intapp DealCloud site. We leveraged our relationship with the commercial lending director at Gemspring Capital to demonstrate the value of making his and his team's lives easier.
I want to understand the pricing, both for the initial contract and the add-ons. How did that work?
After everything was finalized, the initial contract was around $150,000 for 1 year. With expansions and extensions, we adjusted the price and locked them into a 4-year contract valued at over $1 million before I left.
Was it seat-based, product-based, or was there a value-based component?
It is license-based, with each individual license and product having its own price. For example, if I have marketing within Intapp, there is a specific price for that. If I have 10 people on my marketing team, I need 10 separate marketing licenses in addition to the marketing product.
Is there a license fee to access the product? Then it is on a per-seat basis that you can scale alongside your clients?
Yes.
Is that a similar structure for all the products you implemented?
Yes.
I want to ensure I understand the contract length and duration. You mentioned $150,000 initially, which became a contract over $1 million for 4 years. Is that $250,000 to $300,000 per year? Or is it almost $1 million per year?
It is almost $1 million per year.
Was this from cross-selling additional modules?
Yes, and I had a great account manager working with me. Any ideas I had were supported, and we implemented them together. I cannot take all the credit. I had a great team. But yes, those were the numbers.
For these additional modules, were you replacing existing software? Or were these value-based additions that automated or replaced existing employees?
We replaced their marketing tool, Constant Contact, with Intapp DealCloud's marketing product, which is integrated directly into DealCloud. Additionally, we replaced Microsoft Excel for the commercial and wealth management teams, as they were using Excel to track all their data.
Regarding the replacement of Excel, how was the business case or ROI evaluated? How was the decision made to invest in more software?
The decision was made because the CEO declared that DealCloud would be our single source of truth. If you couldn't comply with that, you would no longer work there. We had strong buy-in from the top down, which is crucial in the SaaS and customer success world. Executive-level buy-in pushes the product stronger, harder, and faster. This was key to our success with Gemspring Capital.
Can you give me a sense of the timeline from the initial implementation to achieving full buy-in, where DealCloud became the single source of truth? How long did it take?
It took about 12 to 13 months. It was a lengthy process, but in cross-selling and sales, persistence is key. We continued to push and build value. Financial services clients typically have longer sales cycles, usually around a year.
Was there anything you tried to sell but couldn't?
Intapp has a standalone accounting product, but I wasn't directly involved with it as it wasn't my area of expertise. It was a cross-sell product available to financial services clients, but I didn't sell it much. They were tracking information differently, so it didn't fit their needs. In such cases, we would create a custom solution to build and implement on those sites.
Once they were fully implemented, how was the relationship? How often did you interact with the clients?
As soon as they went live, I connected with Kelsey, the project manager, on a bi-weekly basis to ensure we kept a pulse on everything. We also had monthly calls with the executive team, and I visited their office twice a year. Intapp doesn't really require on-site visits, mainly for the sales team, but customer success prefers remote interactions. Nevertheless, I visited them twice a year. The relationship was great. We still exchange Christmas presents. They send me gifts and I send them a couple of things.
Did you handle any price renewals or increases? Were you able to push the price without upselling?
Price evaluations were done annually. Each account was reviewed every year to determine if there was a 5% or 10% increase to their contract. This was written into their contract, not monthly, but yearly. Intapp had the ability to implement these increases as needed. The terms varied, but there were incremental 5% and 10% increases for product usage. Typically, I was upselling a lot, so we didn't often see these increases. However, for some long-established clients who had everything we offered, we implemented those increases occasionally.
Was there any pushback on those increases?
No, there was no pushback. Clients understood that the cost of doing business rises every year. We weren't nickel and diming them. We continued to offer the same level of support. Building a strong relationship with customers is crucial. If you bring value to every conversation, they won't mind paying an extra 5% or 10%. Providing true knowledge and presenting actual examples of ROI makes those conversations easier, in my opinion.
We discussed this strong success story in detail. I am curious about your other clients. If this is the best experience, how do your other clients compare to it?
This experience is probably my favorite because it involved a steady amount of work. It wasn't like we were working extremely hard or under immense pressure to close deals. The stress level was manageable. We maintained a steady pace, kept everything on track, and secured buy-in throughout the process. My other clients were similar, though some were more complicated than others. I had one client who at the time, and actually still currently, has assets under management of $453 billion. If you Google financial services clients in the United States with an AUM of $453 billion, you will likely find out who it is. They have an extensive build-out of DealCloud because their project manager used to work at Intapp DealCloud. Their use cases were very complex and in-depth, requiring a lot of technical expertise that I had to bring in from the Intapp side to make things work. They were my largest and most complex customer. I wouldn't call them problem children, but they had a lot of questions and frequently reached out. However, they paid us the most and are a huge organization, so their use case was interesting. Most of the clients I dealt with were great. I didn't lose any clients during my almost 4 years there. No one left, and I can't say I had anyone who was displeased. There were always general complaints like wishing the product to do more or suggesting improvements, which is understandable. We took that feedback to our product teams. I can truly say I never had a client that I had issues with or considered difficult.
During your tenure, was there ever a situation where you had to fight to keep a client at risk of churning?
There was a situation with Turning Rock. They had a business development manager as their point of contact for DealCloud, which created some friction. I spent most of my time trying to build the product according to her specifications, until I eventually told her I couldn't continue because it was only causing headaches and the solutions weren't effective. They no longer saw value in the platform due to their usage, which posed a risk of churn. I arranged a meeting with their CEO, COO, and the business development manager to discuss the structure, necessary actions, and best practices that DealCloud could offer. The meeting was well received, and the business development manager was no longer in charge of the DealCloud product for that client. We brought in someone else, Amanda, who was open and willing to adopt practices that had worked for thousands of other companies. By doing this, we turned them around from red to green within 6 months. Although there was no additional product purchase, I considered it a win because it looked like they were going to churn. If that meeting hadn't happened, I guarantee the client would have churned.
Was this during the initial setup, as it didn't reach a full adoption stage? Or was the setup not going to be successful?
We had set them up and they had started using it. However, during the RFP process, the contact I worked with was new and unaware of previous discussions. There were no expectations from them, and they had never seen it before, but had specific requirements. We needed to align everyone internally, and I felt I had to push for that. Once we achieved alignment, the product was successful.
Was it more of a client engagement issue rather than a product technology competition?
Yes.
You mentioned a very large private equity asset manager. Can you talk a little about the cross-sell motion there? How does that work? What stage is the client in? How has the net revenue expansion worked over the past few years?
They have a lot of Intapp DealCloud products, so much of it is already built out. Before I left Intapp, we were focusing on refining the processes we had in place. It wasn't about product expansion since they had already purchased it. It was about utilizing it effectively for specific teams. Decision-making at this large private equity firm takes longer, as there are more hoops to jump through. The structure was very rigid with certain steps to follow. For example, if we wanted to cross-sell walls for them, that decision took 8 months just to get a yes or no after repeated meetings. You are smiling and nodding, so you understand. It wasn't as fast as I would have liked. In large organizations, there is more of a hierarchical structure, and more people have a say. Once we sold them, it took a year and a half before they bought anything else. We focused on utilizing and refining.
Looking at your portfolio of clients, how penetrated would you say they were compared to their potential? If you could cross-sell everything that would add value to them, how mature was the client base?
I had 8 clients when I left. I was able to cross-sell, on average, 4 to 5 of them each year on some product, whether it be extra seats, licenses, or different products to expand their use cases. Some had everything, even more licensed seats than employees. At that point, we weren't discussing downselling, just hiring. I upsold roughly 50% of my book every year while at Intapp.
How would that translate in terms of net revenue retention for your book?
My net retention was around 119 to 120%.
Do you think this is a sustainable level? This is a key debate in companies, as it is a high number, and there is concern it might saturate and decrease. It is challenging to increase prices by 20% every year across the customer base.
Could it slow down? Absolutely. Are we experiencing it in the market right now? I think we might be, based on some numbers I am seeing. In my personal opinion, with the current launch and buzz around artificial intelligence, if companies focus on expanding their reach without increasing prices as much as Salesforce does, there might be capabilities to maintain that 120% growth for the foreseeable future. It will require a delicate balance between capabilities, customer value, and competitive pricing. I see it being difficult in the near future to maintain if companies don't start diversifying to embrace artificial intelligence today.
Could you talk a little bit about Intapp as a company? Do you see them as an innovative product and technology company?
Yes, I do see them as a product and technology company. It is no longer just a CRM. DealCloud started as a CRM, but it has evolved. In the financial services markets, companies are looking to diversify and increase productivity by utilizing AI to speed up processes. That is what I am currently seeing in the market, how it can make life easier. However, I am still concerned about risk, compliance, and regulations with customer data.
Based on your experience and sales conversations, how do they assess their competitive position in the financial market?
They are definitely competitive. I haven't been there for several months, but when I was there, I noticed a slowdown in product development. It could be that they were reallocating resources towards AI and similar initiatives.
The company identifies its main competitors as horizontal CRMs like Salesforce and a lot of Excel and in-house solutions that need to be replaced. Would you agree with this characterization, or is there a small but relevant strong competitor within the market?
They are right in competing alongside Salesforce and other CRMs or solutions similar to Intapp DealCloud. They are fairly competitive, but I wouldn't position them in a strong category currently. They are competitive, but not exceeding.
Do you have a couple of examples that you think are worth me learning about and keeping?
I've been away from Intapp for some time now, but from what I see on LinkedIn, I don't sense a strong push for AI compared to other companies. For instance, Salesforce with the release of Dreamforce. I'm not seeing a strong response from Intapp, but that could be because I am no longer involved with them daily.
Are you referring to the traction and buzz around their AI solutions?
Yes.
I got that feeling as well. Moving on to more general market questions, how penetrated do you think the private equity asset manager firms in the U.S. are?
In terms of penetration, there is a significant opportunity in this space in the United States. It is a severely untapped market, especially for financial services and private equity firms. There is definitely a lot of opportunity.
Why do you think that is?
From what I am seeing with my clients at my current company, there's a lot of opportunity, especially with AI. Smaller boutique firms that may not have considered Intapp due to price might now see it as a viable solution. If companies seriously pursue these smaller firms in the U.S., they can build their market share.
Are there segments that didn't buy software before AI but might consider it now?
Yes. For example, if I'm a smaller boutique firm with $650 million in assets under management annually, that is not a lot. If my standard Salesforce contract is $200,000 a year and my budget is only $100,000, I wouldn't pay for it. However, if AI can save time, increase revenue, and improve customer satisfaction, it might be worth paying more to grow my market share.
It is interesting that the increased value of the software enables expansion because it adds so much value. I wanted to discuss the Microsoft partnership. Have you had any direct or indirect exposure to it?
Yes, I have.
The underlying question here is whether it is actually helpful. Is it a driver of additional business at the present moment or in the future?
I would say absolutely, both in the present moment and the future. If Microsoft continues to iterate and improve their product, then it will be beneficial in the future. It has also helped in the short term. We were able to adopt a lot of their Copilot technology internally at Intapp, which led to our increased usage of automated processes I mentioned earlier.
This is on the actual product side. Did the technology partnership with Azure and leveraging their Copilot infrastructure enable DealCloud to become a better product from an AI standpoint?
From that standpoint, absolutely. It also allowed for smoother integrations with Microsoft Office products. We already had a DealCloud add-in for Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. The partnership with Microsoft allowed us to directly integrate for faster response times and use Copilot, as opposed to just a random generator that DealCloud had. It definitely improved.
Did you also see benefits on the go-to-market side?
Yes, however, it wasn't as if we closed deals solely because of the partnership with Microsoft. I don't think it drove that much value. From a product improvement and customer satisfaction standpoint, it did drive a lot of value.
If you were working at a financial services firm today, just like your former clients, which software would you recommend they implement?
Intapp DealCloud would be the one I would currently implement.
Is there anything relevant about the business and the company that you think you had insight into that I haven't asked you about?
No, not that I can think of. Right before I left, we implemented a team to specifically work with mid-market accounts and smaller ones. Instead of having a dedicated CSM or client success analyst, it would go to a pod of individuals, and one of them would pick up any requests or questions. This change was implemented to focus on larger accounts and have people who specialized in verticals outside of just financial services like I was. This allowed us to break it down and have everyone manage client lists effectively.
Did you downgrade the services for smaller accounts so that the larger accounts would receive better service?
Yes, it transitioned from having one dedicated person to technically having a dedicated team. This meant they could get answers from five or six different people, but their questions would still be answered. They didn't have to go to one specific point of contact.
Did you see this as a positive change?
Absolutely, I did. It was working out very well when I left. I can't speak to how it is now, but clients were happy and still getting their answers. This allowed someone dealing with regular enterprise accounts, not strategic ones, to free up some time.
What are your perspectives on John's leadership? How did you interact with him? And how was he viewed within the company?
I interacted with him quite a bit. He is viewed very well within the company. Every conversation I had with him was productive and provided great business insight. I have no complaints there.